Unfortunately, due to a technical fault, there is no sound for the first few minutes of this service. We join the service partway through the choir singing Kyrie Eleison.
Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins, open our eyes to God's truth, strengthen us to do God's will, and give us the joy of his kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord of the wilderness way, whose word scours our smooth evasions, take us on the unbending road to the raw center of our world with a cry of invitation and the call of sudden grace through Jesus Christ, the one who is to come. Amen.
Chapter 3. Thus says the Lord God, see, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonicus, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the Gospel of the Lord. May I speak to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Advent bells call out, prepare. Your world is journeying to the birth of God made man for us on earth. And how, in fact, do we prepare that great day that waits us there? Words by the late great Sir John Betjeman from his poem Advent 1955. And how, in fact, do we prepare? I'm sure those who have had any involvement in the guiding or scouting movement will be familiar with the phrase, be prepared. For generations, there have been boys and girls across the world that have used this phrase as part of their membership of this great organisation. Lord Robert Baden-Powell was a great influencer of his day, and wrote in the same year as Sir John wrote his poem, in 1955, he wrote that scouts should prepare themselves to become productive citizens and strong leaders, and to bring joy to other people. He wanted each scout to be ready in mind and body, and to meet with a strong heart whatever challenges await them. Today, as our journey moves on, we meet once again John the Baptist. And I think he would have made a great Boy Scout. He loved the outdoors. He lived a simple life, and I imagine he was quite resourceful. Not only had he been prepared for the role that had been given to him, this role being fulfilled in the words of Isaiah, a voice crying out in the wilderness, but he is an essential character in this season of Advent. And he came too that others might also be prepared for what was to come. So be prepared, the theme for this second Sunday of Advent. Luke is a detailed storyteller, and in the passage from this morning's Gospel, he sets the context of the time and place that John would come. John's proclamation is about to change the world that Luke describes. John's message was specific, that those who heard it first might prepare the way of the Lord. John is at the heart of the Advent and Christmas story, but he also stands on the outside looking in. Change is coming, and he is proclaiming that the change that will take place cannot happen without some personal change from those who hear the message. They are, we are told, to be baptized and turn away from their sins and turn towards God. They are waiting for a God to rescue them from themselves, and in order for that to happen, they needed to prepare themselves. In the words of Lord Baden-Powell, to be ready in mind and body and strong of heart. So what does it mean today as we hear the story of John the Baptist? Well, last week Matthew described Advent as an alarm clock season, awakening ourselves to the change that is to come when God appears in human form. And that change doesn't come without our own preparation of heart and mind. This season of Advent and this season of preparation serves as a time for us to examine our lives, to rekindle our relationship with God, and to be awake to the possibilities that this gift will bring. So we cannot be found sleeping. We all must be awake to the proclamation that John gives, and to be prepared to receive Christ in our hearts and lives and into this community. And most importantly, to share the gift of the salvation of God. Advent is the season that asks us to ponder all these things in our heart. The season of Mary's yes. The season of Joseph's dreams. The season where John cries in the wilderness to make the crooked straight and the rough smooth. The season we prepare and ponder what it means that Christ came into this world as a vulnerable child, who will return to judge the living and the dead, as the words of our creed say. I read somewhere that Advent described as being like preparing your house for a guest who will be staying a while. In a few short weeks, we will celebrate that truth, and that guest will arrive. And after all our preparations, will we be ready once again to make him welcome? So I return, as I began, to John Betjeman, who ended his poem, Advent 1955, with these words. The time draws near the birth of Christ, a present that cannot be priced, given 2,000 years ago. Yet if God had not given so, he still would be a distant stranger and not the baby in the manger. Change is coming. Be prepared. What are you waiting for? Amen. Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God.
Father God, as we prepare for Christmas with all its busyness, let us find time for prayer and prepare with hope for your promised coming. Let us pray. We pray for your church throughout the world, and in our Anglican Communion, we pray for the Anglican Church in Burundi. Give strength to all who minister and worship there, and may their mission and evangelism grow ever stronger. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, as we take part in this Advent season, where we look towards the birth of your Son, Jesus, and remember your love for us, let us not forget those here and across the world for whom this is not a season of joy, but one of hardship and sadness. As we continue our support through the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, which terminates on December the 10th, we pray for all women and girls who suffer gender-based violence in any of its forms. We pray for all refugees who risk dangers seeking safety and a better life for themselves and their families. We give thanks for the British Red Cross, the charity that works with impartiality, neutrality, and independence to prevent and alleviate human suffering wherever it be found. Guard and protect all staff and volunteers as they gain access to and help people in need. We pray that all hardship, sadness, or danger will know your presence, and that you will open our hearts and guide us in supporting them as much as we can. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Dear Lord, bless and guide Elizabeth, our Queen, and support her in all the demands that her role lays upon her. We pray for all in authority under her who have to make financial and ethical decisions that affect us all. Grant to them wisdom and courage to do what is right in these uncertain times. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Lord, we pray for all Advent services being held in churches and schools at this time. May the prayers and hymns be said and sung with joy and hope. And we give thanks for Matthew and Lynn as they lead us through this Advent season. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of joy and happiness, we pray for all those taking part in the Whitkirk Arts Guild production this coming week. We give thanks for their efforts and hope that they are greeted with smiling faces and loud applause after each performance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Lord, we pray for our community and give thanks for the happy time shared by so many at our Christmas coffee morning yesterday. We ask, dear Lord, if you will bless the residents of Carter Lane. May they see their neighbours through your eyes, and in so doing, both give and receive friendship and care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of healing, we lift to you all those who are broken and hurting right now. We pray for those who are sick in mind, body, or spirit. We hold before you Alan Dacre, Pat Hyde, Beryl Laverick, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Alan and Mavis Cross, Christine Oates, Thomas Hadley, Jeff Blowers, Patrick Crowley, and Sharon White. May they find you there beside them in the dark and painful times and be comforted. And we continue to pray for those who now reside in long-term care. Mary Metcalf, Doreen Hoare, Margaret Burton, George Brown, and Jennifer Mode. May their days be filled with calm, peace, and loving care. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, give rest to those who have gone from our lives to be with you. We hold before you those who have recently died. Tony Wheelhouse, John Rex, Margaret Thompson, and Josephine Feller. And those whose anniversary of death falls at this time. Tony Cooper, John Sim, Pamela D. Hart, Doreen Lowther, Thomas Hughes, and Ernest Chadwick. May they live the life eternal and rest in everlasting peace in your heavenly kingdom. Strengthen the bereaved with the knowledge of your loving presence at this their time of greatest need. Lord, in your mercy. And now, as we wait, let us hear the Baptist's cry that the Lord is nigh. Let us be filled with hope and joy at your coming and know that you will be beside us and we are never alone. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
In the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high shall break upon us to give light to those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. as this bread was scattered and then gathered and made one, so may your church be gathered into your kingdom. Glory to you, O God, forever. Wisdom has built her house. She has mixed her wine. She has set her table. Glory to you, O God, forever. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God and everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son. For when he humbled himself, he came among us in human flesh. He fulfilled the plan you formed before the foundation of the world to open for us the way of salvation. Confident that your promise will be fulfilled, we now watch for the day when Christ our Lord will come again in glory. And so we join our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven to proclaim your glory, forever praising you and singing. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for his coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, With all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Let us pray with confidence, as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith and thanksgiving, you who hunger for the bread of life. Gather round the table as strangers and friends and feed on him who was, who is, and who is to come. The blood of Christ shed for us all.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, who sent your Son to redeem the world and will send him again to be our judge, give us grace so to imitate him in the humility and purity of his first coming, that when he comes again, we may be ready to greet him with joyful love and firm faith, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. So it's time to light the second candle on our Advent wreath. This candle stands for the prophets. Blessed are you, Sovereign Lord, true and just and true. To you be praise and glory forever. Of old you spoke by the mouth of your prophets, but in our days you speak through your Son, whom you have appointed the heir of all things. Grant us, your people, to walk in his light, that we may be found ready and watching when he comes again in glory and judgment. For you are our light and our salvation. Blessed be God forever.
Thank you.
sun of righteousness shine upon you, scatter the darkness from before your path, and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Our Lord says, I am coming soon. Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the Lord, when he comes, find us watching and waiting. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.